Joy to be here. Don't you appreciate the Holy Ghost being here every night? I appreciate that so much. Thank God. I'm so tired of dead and dry meetings until I'll tell you what, I've appreciated this. It's been good. Real good. I thank God for that. Appreciate Brother Brown feeling better and coming. I've known him for, I guess, going on 19 years, and I appreciate him and I love him. You know, the day I was thinking about a couple of fellers at the home, Clinton Worley and Lou Clark, they're sitting out under the trees. And Clinton said, Lou, was it you or your brother that got killed in the war? He said, it was me. So I'll tell you what. My goodness, sometimes we forget stuff, don't we? We appreciate and thank God for this great man of God. We appreciate him and we love him. Amen. He's my pastor and I love him. Come on, Dr. Brown, and rip it wide open, praise God. Amen. Glad he's here.
Amen.
All right. It's a joy.
Give him plenty.
And an opportunity to be here with you and to be a part with you. I don't know if you can hear anything I'm saying, but most of it ain't going to make no sense, no how. How about it?
Switch it. Go switch it.
Here you go.
Let me switch.
There you go. How about that?
What about
All
it?
All right, good, yes, good. I am so glad and grateful and appreciative that God let me come and be here one night, if it's just one night.
Amen.
I have been about as sick as you can get and still live. A couple of times I think I was stepping over. I just got problems and difficulties on every hand, but I can't get over getting under the blood.
Amen.
And every time I turn around, my physical body is trying to distract my spiritual man. And I knew getting into this thing that it wasn't going to be easy, and I knew it wasn't going to be a treat, and I knew it wasn't going to be sometimes it'll be complex and difficult, but God knows all about that and he works all that out for us.
Amen.
And I do appreciate Brother Charles, and I love him and appreciate the fire out of you, Pastor. I love and appreciate the Spirit of God working in his life and him being the moderator. We've been here a long time, a lot of years and a lot of time and a lot of waters went under the bridge, but I sure am grateful and thankful and appreciative to be here. Get your Bible, and I'm not going to be able to preach long, so just listen quick, all right, because I'm just going to do what I can and trust the Lord. I want you to look at, make sure you got your microphone, all right, so you can read for me. Look at Matthew chapter number 14, Matthew chapter number 14. Look at verses 1 down through 8, 9, 10. Have we got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You just sort of read when I ask you to, if you will, and we'll go through it and see what happens. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, I want to thank you and praise you for sickness. I want to thank you for difficulty. I want to bless you and thank you for the down times in my life, because the getting back up times are really good when I've been down a little while. You've shown me over the years you sure don't need a whole lot of me, but I sure need a whole lot of you. You've shown me hundreds and hundreds of times that you could walk away from me and you would never have to worry about me, but I would be lonely, I'd be helpless, and I'd be absolutely hopeless without you. So I come tonight and thank you for letting us get down every once in a while so we can appreciate getting up. Because the God of the getting up is the God that helps, encourages, and illustrates to us what we need to know. Bless all these preachers and these evangelists and missionaries and whatever they do. And I'm going to ask you tonight to bless them real good and watch over them. Thank you for the camp meeting. Meet all the needs that it has. And I feel so natural here tonight. So needed 3 weeks, but in the house, just dying to get out and come and be a part, and then thought I wasn't going to get to. And you worked it all out. And my wife's leaving, and all my children hate me, but that's all right. I'll make it back home and fix it all in Jesus' name. I was getting a little personal with him now. Amen. I'll catch you later. I was 25 miles down the road when I called Diane. Cell phone's a wonderful thing. She said, "Where are you?" I said, "I ain't telling." And I just kept going. So I'm going to call after a while and tell her where I ended up. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 14. It's a story about John the Baptist, Herodias, and Herod, and a story about the envy of a woman and the bitterness of a woman and her delirious wickedness in her heart for what she wanted. Nobody's ever going to read behind John the Baptist that they don't see repentance. The man's name was built all around repentance, and his ministry was soaked and bathed and taken up with repentance. He told them when they came out there to get baptized and they were living like the devil, he said, "You go produce me some fruit, meat for repentance, and I'll baptize you. But until then, don't come back out here. Because you're going to get the same runoff you got now, but I'm going to run you off." And he had sent them home. Repentance. Well, the Bible says that Herod had put John the Baptist in jail, a hold on him. That word "a hold" means he fastened him. He put him in jail so he could not break out. And the Word of God tells us that's exactly what happened. Well, when he feared the whole situation, he feared that he didn't know exactly what was going to happen because he had made an oath. And for the oath's sake, he was going to have to provide the fruit of the oath. And he was sitting there one night, and all of his people were sitting with him, and they was wondering, was he going to honor this? This girl came out. She's the daughter of Herodias, you remember. She came out and she danced, and the Bible says she pleased Herod. That does not even come close to fitting in our vernacular. What happened to him was a man who gave his life away for a mess of pottage. He gave his life away simply because of what he wanted. He was enraged. And he said, "You can have whatever you want." She, being warned by her mother beforehand, told him that she wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter. And the scripture says that Herod was sorrowful. He didn't want to do it. He was not a great man. He was certainly not a friend of John the Baptist. Turned out not to be a great friend, a protege of Jesus either. But he knew he had to honor the oath, and so when his birthday came, and it seemed like a sensible time to do it, everybody's eyes were peered on him, and everybody was watching him to make sure that they seen what he did. And he went and sent for John. John didn't come, but his head did. And the Bible says they brought his head on a platter, gave it to the daughter who danced with the devil.
Right.
And gave that head over to her mother. I don't know what look John had on his face. I don't know what look she's seen for the rest of her life. But the thing that she was not after was his head. She was after his mouth. She was after his speech. She was after shutting him up because he was a man that was digging deep into where she lived. So I want you to look at repentance, around the subject of repentance, for just a few moments, around the word repentance, and look at three principles about it, if you will, that the Lord showed me just recently. Number one, Brother Jake's going to help me out over here. What is the first one, Jake? And read the verse behind it, please. All right?
Number one, the proclamation. The Bible says in verse number 3 and verse number 4, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him,
hey,
it is not lawful for thee to have her.
It's not right.
Right.
He could have left it alone, but it's not right.
Not right.
He could have backed away from it and let it sit idle.
Yeah.
But he had to say something because it was in his calling. It was in his commission.
Yes.
It was in his heart.
Yes.
But he was a man also that backed up his preaching with his walking. He backed up his preaching with his living.
Amen.
He backed up his preaching not with just his words, but his worship. And every one of us, we can, listen closer to this statement. You can never do what you're not preached to do very long in church. You cannot do what you are not preached to do very long in church. Now, and let me say this. Preachers today preach repentance, but preachers today don't repent. And the biggest problem that I have is loving my people too much and allowing them to skate free of the things that are hard. I've been 42 years almost with this same crowd, and I've raised their children. I've buried their dead. I've lived amongst them. They've kept me alive. They've been my friends and associates for years. I mean, we've seen some wonderful and some transforming things happen in that work together. I'm talking about from gray head to bald head and to no head. We've been through it all and watched it all happen. But the one thing that God has shown me is you live repentance around people and it'll rub off on them. You live repentance around somebody and they'll ask you, what is it that you have that I need to subject myself to? It's easy to get up and holler at everybody and tell them what to do. It's easy to jump up and wave your King James Bible in the face and tell them exactly what you ought to do. And that's all right. If you feel like that's what you want to do, go ahead and waste your time. Do it. I'm telling you, I got a King James Bible at home that runs from me. Every time I pick it up, I'm going to church to throw it at somebody. You know, so I started living before them the life that I was asking of them. And the life that I started living before them that I was asking of them became a reality through them because they watched what God was doing through my life.
Amen.
And you say our people are doing wrong. They are. They are. They don't mean to be that way. They're not mean-spirited that way. They're just made out of stuff that's stupid. How many of you would agree that most of us are stuck on stupid? Just stuck on it. We can't get off of it. We're stuck on it. I mean, we do it automatically. We get up in the morning stupid. We go to bed stupid. We say we live with stupid all day long. That's just the way it is. But, you can be stupid and get through life if you're not totally and absolutely stupid all the time. I have found out in life it is vitally important for us to live what we preach to people if we expect people to do what we preach.
Amen.
For people.
Amen.
I hope you'll listen to what I'm saying tonight. Every one of us need to repent. Every one of us need to ask God to help us. But that proclamation can't come forth if it's not something nurtured out of our heart. Nurtured out of our spirit, nurtured out of our lifestyle. We got to live a long time. I was with a guy the other day at the church. He said, Brother Brown, I want to tell you something that's going to sound strange, but I want to tell you anyway. He said, I've been going to church here 14 years. I said, yeah, I know. I said, it's been a joy to have you. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm from New Jersey, and he's a thoroughbred Yankee. Cuts the bottom end off a turnip, throws it in the trash and eats that thing on top. I don't understand how anybody can do that, but they do anyway. And he's from New Jersey. He turned around and looked at me. He said, I've known you 14 years. And he said, I think I'm about ready to trust you. I said, well, I appreciate it. And went on as if to try to just sort of numb it a little bit because I wasn't going to get that conversation started. And some things you just learn, don't poke that bear. Just leave him alone. He's stuck on stupid. Leave him alone. So I find his wife coming by, and I ask her something about what he'd said. And she said, he don't trust anybody. And she said, he's taken a liking to what you're saying because he's seeing what you're doing, and he don't trust anybody who can tell him and not show him. Every one of us, oh, that God would help me. Can I get anybody in here to raise their hand and say, I'll pray for you. Just pray for me. That's all I want you to do. Pray that my heart will be soft to God, that my heart will be open to the Holy Ghost, that my life would not be a lie, or my life would not be some kind of half-truth, or my life would not be some kind of hypocritical draw. I want God to use me in the power of the Holy Spirit, not because I deserve it or I'm capable or I'm able, but I want to do what it takes to please him in order that he might have the glory he needs and should get out of my life. Can I get somebody to holler amen? I don't have a right to preach to anybody something that is keeping me down, not letting me explain it and exemplify that and express that. You're going to have failures you're dealing with as you go along, but you got to deal with them. You got to deal with them. Oh, my, 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 my. What was that story I was telling you today about? Oh, yeah. Sometimes we're not looking to repent. We're looking to cover. We don't even know, I want our wife to know we're human. We come to a meeting like this, and thank God you have. Thank God you have. I've heard you had some of the best attendance you've had all week. I started to stay home hoping I wouldn't kill it. But I'm just glad that you've been here and thankful that you're a part. But we don't need to be in the covering business. We need to be in the recovering business. We need to be recuperating ourselves out of the problems that we got and not try to hide from them. I have a preacher friend of mine that pastors a church up in Tennessee. And he had a birthday party on our birthday on Saturday. The church didn't do anything for him or didn't mention it. They just slipped up, I reckon, and didn't think about it being on a weekend. And so I came into the meeting on Monday, and his feathers was all ruffled, and he was acting down in the mouth and had pooch mouth. There ain't nothing worse than a preacher who got forgotten in some kind of situation in the church. He'll get the pooch mouth on you. He just will. That's all there is to it. He has the right, though. It goes along with his calling and his commitment and his anointing. That's just part of it. But he had the pooch mouth that day. He wouldn't tell me what was wrong. But his wife told me. So that night at church, I got two old gals that just looked like gossips. Just now, I'm not saying I know what a gossip looks like. And I'm not saying I'm fixing to go through here and inspect this crowd. I asked a lady, an older lady in the church, I said, who can help me make some phone calls and they don't mind calling people? She said, I'll be glad to help you. I said, well, tell me, second of all, who's the biggest gossip in here? She said, you see that woman in that blue dress right there? She said, she wrote the book on it. I said, tell her to come up here. She came up there, and I got over in the corner, and I told her, I want you to call everybody on the list on this church roll. I want you to have everybody here tomorrow night. We're going to give the preacher a birthday party, and we ain't going to say nothing about it to him. The next night, we had a time. We had a good meeting. God bless us. We went down to Fellowship Hall after it was over, had all the people down there. They were packed out. I'm talking about had the lights down low. And I had got two old granny women. I'm talking about got off the ark with Noah. I'm talking about old. And they knew what a skillet was. Now, that goes way back. A skillet. I'm talking about one you hit a man with, he ain't coming to. He may talk about wanting to breathe again, but he ain't going to get no oxygen. And so I said, I want you to use them two skillets, and I want you to make some cornbread. That kind that rises up and jumps out of the pan at you about that high. She did that, and I took them two pieces of cornbread and sat on top of that cornbread and made a cake out of it. I took some chocolate icing from Betty Crocker, and I smeared that thing out. And then I licked the knife and put it back down there. That's the joy. If you don't lick the knife when you bake a cake, you're going to hell. Yeah, you got it all over you. It's all over you. And I put that thing together and carried it to that meeting that night. Well, we let the preacher come down, and we had the lights down low, and we sang Happy Birthday, and he would just say, and he ain't got the pooch mouth now. He's got a woman's mall mentality now. He's crying because they're closing. And he's sitting there, and I said, let's cut the cake. He said, you go ahead. I said, I'll give you the first piece. He said, oh, no, you can have it. I said, no, sir, we will not do that. We'll give you the first one. He took that piece of chocolate cornbread, and he gnawed down on about half of it, and he spit bread for about 40 yards. Them tears dried up like a brook in August, dried up, and he screamed out at me, I'll kill you! I'll kill you. There was an old man down there who was married to one of them old women. He said, you know, no matter how much chocolate you put on that cornbread, you ain't never going to have no cake. Let me say something to you. I don't care how much chocolate you rub on your sin. It's still going to be a mess before it's over. You got no cake. You got the facade of a cake. You got the look of a cake. You got the cover up of a cake. But you don't have the stuff, the cake. Let me ask you a question. If God would speak to you tonight, to pray for me, will you do that? And let me pray for you, and let's pray for each other, not to come sit and look and listen and watch and then escape again without personal reaction, but ask God to touch us in the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing we see in this situation is the what?
Proclamation.
The proclamation. John preached repentance, turning around, leaving your sin, and coming out. Very important. That's the principle that we see here. Number two, tell us the principle in the verse.
The pride. Verses 5 down through 10 says this. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Herod talking about John. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison.
Up the steps they come. With the head of this man, they have it on a charger, they give it to the girl, and the girl proudly displays it to her mother. And her mother had to say something like this as she looked at John. You'll never see me again, and you'll never speak to me again in the tones you have in the past. You'll have nothing to say because I have cut your water off. You have nothing more to say. Repentance won't come out of your mouth. I'll tell you now whose husband can have whose wife.
And I'll tell you whose wife can have whose husband, because you have nothing now to speak with, because I cut you off. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 29:1?
He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.
Read it again.
He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.
Oh God, help us. Let me ask you something, and I move on. As the Lord, as your witness, has he spoken to you this week in here about something, or said to you about something lately that he wants you to fix, and you heard God clearly and you heard God openly, and you have said, I don't want to hear that anymore, or I don't want to be a part of listening to that anymore. I can't take it. My nerves won't take it. I'm already medicated. I can't go to church there. Every time I go down there, they mess with my psyche. Every time I go down there, they're putting guilt on me. Every time I turn around, I'm hearing about what I need to do next. I hadn't even got the first thing done yet, and they're pushing me to do the next thing. What do I need to do? The best thing you can do is fall in real quick. While this girl danced, and the payment for the dance, if you look at the Word of God, you'll find out the payment for the dance was the head of John the Baptist. Right. And the scripture says and teaches us that she paid the price to have it, and he had to pay the price for not being able to speak after that, because his head was cut off. God can be silenced in your heart. You can stop the voice of God from actually working in your life, but that's not God's will for your life. That's not what God wants at all. I was over in Gaffney preaching years and years ago when I was a kid with Brother Maccabee and some street preachers. We was on the other end of Gaffney, and I was standing by a truck. There was a guy in a pickup truck preaching, and we was all standing around with tracks and giving people tracks as they come along. And I saw an old man sitting on a Coca-Cola crate over by a post at an old rundown post office that had been dilapidated and forgotten years ago. He was leaning up against that crate, and he was listening to Doc preach. And I felt led of the Holy Spirit to go over there, and I went over there, and I asked the guy, I said, have you ever heard anybody do that? He said, oh, plenty of times. I said, do you understand what he's talking about? He said, oh, plenty of it. I said, sir, have you ever come to the place in your life where if you died right now that you know you'd go to heaven? He said, son, I want to tell you something, and we'll be done with this conversation. He said, I can take you to the place. I can take you to the ground. I can take you to a place where a prayer meeting was going on. And I said no to God for the last time, and he walked off from where I was standing and left me, and I have never heard a word since. I haven't ever met anybody like that since or before, and I hope I never have to in my life of preaching, because this old man was absolutely away from God and couldn't find his way back. And I believe that there is a place where you can absolutely put yourself to where you put yourself away from God to the point that you cannot hear him. If he was to holler with a megaphone, you couldn't hear him, because you have walked across that last deadline. You've had your last fling, and Satan has put the word out on us, or God has put the word out on us, that no more. Read it one more time.
He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck.
Often reproved.
Hardeneth his neck shall suddenly
bows
be destroyed.
Bows his neck up, will suddenly be destroyed.
And that without remedy.
Why? Because he bows his neck up and he can't turn. He bows his neck up and he can't switch. He bows his neck up and he can't get around. He's so caught in the position of his poison, he cannot see the position of his remedy. He's looking, he's hoping, but he can't see because he's stiffened up his neck and it shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. God help us. You're under this tabernacle tonight. You said you've been saved. You're under this tabernacle tonight. You said you've been called to preach. You said that you've been a part of a church. You said that you've done right. And I don't want to argue with that at all. I want you to live with that if you can. But I'm just trying to reach that one that's hidden behind a pole somewhere. That's been playing games long enough and playing games for a long time. And you just bow your head and say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Then look at the price. We'll quit.
Luke 23, 8 and 9. The Bible says this. This is leading up to Jesus' crucifixion.
Now listen to it.
And when Herod saw Jesus.
Herod.
He was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing.
He answered him nothing. I can see the stare of Jesus Christ looking through the mind of Herod, right through the face of Herod. As he gave him that John the Baptist look. You won't hear. You didn't want nothing. You don't get nothing. And he answered him. He's the only person in the Bible I can find that Jesus never spoke to. You don't want nothing? There's going to come a time when you're going to want to carry on a conversation with him. But can you find him and can you hear him when he speaks? Nothing. How close was you to having your last conviction session with the Holy Ghost when he saved you? How close was you to saying no for the last time? How grateful are you in your heart this morning or this evening? How grateful are you in your heart that you came when you did? It very well could be that it was the last time. It very well could be the next to the last time. It could be you took God's last chance and jumped on board and stopped the dance. May I say something to you? If you're dancing with the devil now, if you'll stop the dance, God's grace and mercy can help you, and the payment may not be as much as it is when you finish. But if you keep on dancing with the devil and keep on dancing with the devil, you're going to have to pay the whole shooting match. Give it up. Give in. Give God all the glory and let him know how much you care for him. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise under the tabernacle. Our Father, thank you tonight for the joy of the Lord. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for praying people that helped me. Thank you for Brother Charles, and thank you for Brother Scott, Brother Ed. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will touch these people. And I pray for these precious, precious church folk. I beg you, please, don't ever let them hear nothing. Don't ever let me hear nothing. Don't ever let me kneel down to a deaf audience. Don't let me have to speak to a deaf God. Please, help us, and we'll thank you. How many would get out of your seat and come and kneel around this front and say, there's been times, preacher, lately when I've flirted with isolation. There's been times lately in my life when I have allowed myself to get comfortable spiritually and religiously, to get comfortable and do as I please. But I don't want to finish this dance. I want out of this dance now. I want out of this partnership. I want out of this deal. I want out of the problematic situation I put myself in. How many of you get out of your seat right now and come? Come on, right now, from the back, the middle, and the front. Come on. Baptist folk are coming. Young people are coming. I want to hear what the Lord has to say to me. I want to be able to know that God's talking to me. Come on, son. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. While God's working, there's plenty of room for you up here to pray for your brothers. You can pray for your sisters. You can pray for your church members. You can pray for your friends and in the youth group, whatever the case might be. You come. God's still working. God's still working. She said, bring his head. I'm tired of his mouth. Bring his head. I'm sick and tired of his voice. I don't want to hear it no more. Well, she didn't. I believe there were times in the darkness of the still night when Herodias would have given anything just to hear him clear his throat. I think she was very, very aware of what she did. Come on. Come on. That's it, son. Anyone else want to get on in this prayer? I believe God will bless you if you'll come. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for your children. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your person. Yes. And I pray tonight that we would get out of this dance as quick as we can. Give up on this dancing thing as quick as we can because we've allowed ourselves to make a deal with the devil and we've danced with darkness. Help us, I pray, not to have the head of the true meaning of our salvation cut to where we cannot hear him. And we'll bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, all over the building, everywhere. All over the building. We'll sing whatever Jim's got for us. And we'll be dismissed as the preacher dismisses.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved.
These days for you. This is your first night. My, what principles, what truth you have heard.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
But if you have been here these other nights, this isn't my first rodeo. Let me put things in context for you. Like John the Baptist, Brother Charles has thundered truth the last three nights. I don't mean on the edge or the outside edge of the plate. I mean right down across the center of the plate. And now God sent Brother Brown to put an exclamation point on it and to challenge our hearts with what we're going to do with it. Oh my, serious business tonight. Serious business. I thank the Lord for the preaching. of the Word of God. It's the preaching of the Word of God that gets it done. In fact, everything God does in and through and by His Word. He saves by His Word. He sanctifies by His Word. He seals by His Word. And He stirs by His Word. Amen. And we've heard the Word of God one more time this night. I appreciate Brother Brown wanting to drive up and be a part of this meeting. Amen. I appreciate him having a heart for this place. I want to challenge you to be praying for him and for God to continue to touch him and to strengthen him. Amen. And I want to challenge you to come be back for the concluding service of this first week of this 65th Blue Ridge Baptist Camp Meeting. Amen. Brother Brown or Brother Charles or both of them will be preaching tomorrow night. That's in the Lord's hands. Amen. I'm just going to do my best to find out which way he's a-going, and I'm a-going with him.
Amen.
I'd invite you to come go along. Shake hands, you go. You're liberty if you've minded the Lord tonight.
Amen.